Welcome to this broadcast of Power Walk. Today, Pastor Paul Cannings brings us part four in the series called Detox. Human logic and reason play such a major part in our lives. We use them every day. It's just common sense, we say. As Pastor Cannings brings us to the incident where Peter rebuked Jesus about going to the cross, we realize the importance of understanding that God's wisdom and human wisdom are poles apart. Pastor Cannings breaks this down for us in the message, Truth is Everything.
No matter what you face in this life, never make Christ the enemy. Never view Christ as the enemy because he's not doing the things you want him to do. You know, years ago, son was growing up, teenager, doing really well, playing football at Jersey Village, and the world is just a wonderful place to be. And one day, you know, he's not liking what I'm saying. He doesn't agree. And I decided to do this one day. I jumped up on the counter in the kitchen to the chagrin of my wife, and I asked him to sit on the floor. And I said to him, am I bigger than you right now? Yeah, Dad, you're bigger than me right now. I said, and he underlined the word right now. You know, he's playing football and all that, you know, right now. Yeah, you're bigger than me right now. You know, so I said, no problem, son. I said, I want you to do something for me because we're going back and forth. We're going back and forth because I wanted him to understand. I said, grab my hand and I'm going to do, since I'm bigger, do everything I can to pull you up. He says, okay, all right, let's do this, okay? And I don't want you to resist it. Just relax and let me pull you up. So I went to pulling him up. I said, just relax. Just let you be like dead weight, but don't fight it. And I try to pull you up, and I'm trying to pull him up. I'm pulling him up, and I keep slipping off the counter. The more I try to pull him up, and eventually I'm just off the counter. And I looked at him, and I said, I'm not the enemy. But the people that you are trying to pull up will pull you down. So you have to stay focused on the people who keep you on the counter. You see, many times we look at God as the person who's the enemy. And God is saying, no, every day you can't keep the earth spinning. I don't care what kind of job you have, what kind of money you make. You may be the smartest person that ever lived, but you better believe you're going to need some rain in order to have some water come to your house. No matter what you say, you may be able to buy a chicken, but you can't get a chicken to make another chicken. And you can't get them to lay an egg. You can't get a cow that eats green grass to give you white milk. You can't do that. You could buy it. You could even buy the cow, but you can't do any of these things. You can't make the seasons come and go. You can't do any of these things. Why? Because you're living in my house. And that's why he's saying, how is it that you could look at me and I think I'm trying to lift you up since I've died and rose from the dead so you could experience life and life abundantly? So no matter what we face in this life, what people may say, what may have happened to us that make our life feel so drunk with trials and problems and difficulties and pain and make us want to just say, where is God? Where is God? My child died. How could this be? How could my child have cancer? Where is God? I married a saved man, but look at what's happening now. He's in love with somebody at the job. What? My wife is in love with somebody at the job. What? We go to church together. How could this be? My finances are all over the place. Oh, God, where's God? I gave to him. We could throw up our hands. And Jesus Christ wants to teach us in toxic situations, how do we stay focused so that we grow in it? Become productive in it, because he is constantly loving on us to the point that he knows the numbers of hairs on our head. And that's why we're in Matthew chapter 16 again today, in verse 21 through verse 23. And this is what he teaches us in that passage of scripture. When we come to verse 22, we learn several things from verse 21 that allows Jesus Christ to go face the worst scenario any human being can face. And what makes it even more worse is the fact that he did nothing wrong. I like what I learned in a song years ago in Guyana, South America. The only thing that Jesus was guilty of was loving us. That's the only thing he was guilty of. If you tell him, you're not going to die. No, for God so loved the world, I'm the one he's giving. I got to be there. That's what he's saying in this passage. He accepts the position God has called him to. He's going to cry to God, and that's the only place he's going to bring his pain to. And number three, he is going to do what his father says. And number four, we looked at, he did not, as corrupt as the temple was, he still knew that that's what God designed, and that's where he has to go through. And he did it anyway. Here's a fifth thing that he has to deal with. He has to deal with people who would come in his face because they think they know so much now. And they had 3 years of seminary. Peter had a vision from God. And Jesus is the Son of the living God, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades would not. And Peter got all of that now. I mean, Peter's the man. He's feeling like he's the man. So Peter, when he's feeling all these different things and thinking all these different things, and Christ literally, the word here, sue unto them, meaning he didn't just tell them he's going to die. He told them very specific things about what's going to take place. That's why Peter can walk all the way up to the Sanhedrin questioning him. He's not like he's shocked along the way. Yes, he cut the guy's ears off because he still think he could fight this thing, but nothing is a surprise to him because he's telling him every step of the way what's going on. Peter is listening to that. Peter's saying, no, you're messing up my mojo right now. I don't like what you're talking about. You see, many times we like that, and that's what makes things more toxic, is when we literally would come to Christ and start telling Christ what to think and what to do. And this is what we find here, folks. Matthew chapter 16, verse 22, this is what he teaches us. Then Peter, after all of the stuff was said, Peter waited for him to finish. Give Peter that. You know, he waited for him to finish. And began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, such all respect, this shall not be unto thee. Watch these words carefully. Peter took him. In other words, everybody jump on Peter when they first get this passage in Scripture. No, hold up a second, because you see, in their day, if you're going to correct your rabbi, so when the rabbis are teaching, there's times they could teach wrong. So the people who are following them, to make sure that they maintain their respect, to make sure that they, when they're teaching, people would want to come and listen to them. As a matter of fact, that was important to how they can move around, because rabbis weren't necessarily the richest people walking around on earth. The Sadducees were. So when the respectful thing to do, that's why he says, Lord, is to take the person to the side and speak to them in the side rather than in front of everybody else. So Peter first is doing what is the culture and the custom of his day. But also, would you see the second thing here is taking place? Peter rebukes him, which means that Peter, instead of just taking him to the side, said, Christ, you know, you really plan to accept all of this? I mean, Christ, do you really want to do that? It's, come on, Christ, are you serious, man? No, that's not the issue. Peter is trying to tell Christ that you basically don't know what you're talking about, and what you're saying is wrong. That's what rebuke here means. He's telling the person that they're wrong and they need to correct what they're saying when they go back to the disciples and start talking, and to the people that are around him. You can't teach this kind of stuff to them. That's what he's saying. Now, why is Peter thinking this way? You know, first week we could just beat up on Peter, but I like Peter. I call him the hood disciple, though, but I like him. I like Peter. He speaks up, but he stays with Christ. He's the one that follows him all the way to the Sanhedrin. At least he stuck with him that far. John did the rest of it and went all the way. And then Peter goes down to the tomb trying to figure out what happened. So you got to, you know, Peter's the only one to jump out the boat. I like Peter. Peter is actually thinking about the book of Daniel, most likely, and Ezekiel, because the book of Daniel and Ezekiel was being interpreted that day. So when the Messiah came, he would establish the Davidical kingdom. He would reestablish it in their mind. That's what they were teaching. And when they established this, he would push back the Romans. Daniel is saying the Romans will be in place when the Son of Man comes. So Peter, in his mind, is thinking that way. And you actually could see this conversation getting deeper in Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10, they're going to ask who's going to sit on the right. Who's going to sit on the left? They're talking like that because they're expecting this kingdom to come. So Peter at first has got bad doctrine. We reject Christ many times because we have bad doctrine. So many times we struggle to accept the truth. There's nothing you are going to do that doesn't have a concept that is biblically based behind it. There's nothing. When I do that, when I kick out that, I'm using my own human wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says that's foolishness to God. I am saying, God bless me as I use my common sense, when he's telling me not to use it. So to do what Christ is saying not to do is sin. He is saying I have to have the concept, and I must make sure that concept is truth. Why? It's the spirit of truth. The spirit is only committed to the truth. So if I believe a lie, and the church is the pillar and support of truth, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So I can't experience this abundant life but through the church, and I can't experience it if I don't accept what Christ says, because he is the truth. Not he is telling us the truth, suggesting the truth. He is the truth. So anything I'm doing, if it ever comes outside of the truth, instead of being a person who develops the character and the nature of Christ, I'm in the flesh. I'm a carnal Christian. And that's why you would see things like in James chapter 3. He says a person who uses this human wisdom, that person can become demonic. That's why he says, get behind me, Satan, because Peter now is using human wisdom. James chapter 3, verse 13, he says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him soothe out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. In other words, if he has wisdom, it's spiritual wisdom. Wisdom can be achieved, chapter 1 of James, unless the person gets it from God. So if a person is getting this wisdom from God, then there's just no way they're going to end up not being like God. So he says in verse 14, but if ye have envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but it is earthly, sensual, and devilish, demonic, devilish. That's why get behind me, Satan. Peter was using human wisdom. He was seeing the need for them to be rescued from the Roman oppression and the corrupt stuff that's taking place in the temple. And Peter was being selfish. Who's going to sit on the right? Who's going to sit on the left? I mean, you see, Peter, he is functioning that way. So he now rebukes Christ. Anytime we start to think that we know what is best, when we think we got that, then we can be the worst people that Christ has to deal with. He has to rebuke the person who's going to preach at Pentecost. And see, folks, be committed to the truth. We ignite the Holy Spirit. When we ignite the Holy Spirit, we don't make Christ the enemy. We make him our friend. So that this man who lays down his life achieves his purpose, a friendship, not we making him an enemy. I pray that you will not pull Christ off the counter because you don't like what he has to say. Stay focused.
Thank you, Pastor Cannings. Truth is everything. Deep faith and trust in God that Jesus had about his purpose on earth. For a copy of this series, call us at 281-260-7402 or log on to powerwalkministries.org. And while you're online, look for the resource titled Holy Spirit and Me. It will further help you walk according to God's wisdom.
If you'd prefer to write us, our mailing address is P.O. Box 920517, Houston, Texas 77092.
And now, here's Pastor Cannings once again.
Despite the pandemic, we've been able to serve pastors and leaders across the country, and we thank God for that. But we now want to go back full force at Sedine Ministries in Spring City, Tennessee. We would love for you to support us as we go to serve the pastors and ministry leaders there. We bring pastors in to serve them, and your support goes to us being able to effectively train these pastors and leaders on how to develop ministries, how to keep their ministries productive in these difficult times, and to encourage them to stay focused in the midst of very difficult times in pastoral and church ministry. Support us, and we will be able to effectively serve God through the church. Stay focused.
We appreciate your financial support. To contact Power Walk, call 281-260-7402 or log on to powerwalkministries.org. And as we leave you, remember, let's learn to spend more time in surrendering our circumstances to God, seeking His will, which is more important than figuring out how to get out of our difficulties.